Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for The Christophers, and on today's show, I'll be talking with Brian Ivey, a young filmmaker who traveled to South Korea to shoot a documentary about a pastor who takes in disabled babies that are abandoned by their parents. After being exposed to that kind of selfless love, Brian experienced some spiritual epiphanies of his own, which he'll also tell us about. So stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and my guest today is Brian Ivey. In 2011, Brian read an article about Pastor Jung-Rak Lee and his work in South Korea. Specifically, Pastor Lee saw there was a cultural problem of parents abandoning their disabled babies soon after birth, often just leaving them on the street where they would eventually die. The pastor built what he called a baby box onto his church, where parents could instead leave their children safely, and then Pastor Lee and his wife would give them a loving home. Brian was a young filmmaking student at the time, and he could see the potential in this powerful story. So he raised money, gathered a crew, and headed off to South Korea to make a documentary called The Dropbox. Brian is joining me today to talk about the making of the movie, as well as his own spiritual transformation. To tell us more, I'm pleased to welcome to Christopher Close-Up, Brian Ivey. Brian, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Oh, it's my honor. Thank you so much.
Now, when you first read the story of Pastor Lee, I know you had done some small movies on your own, but you'd never done a documentary in another country in a language you don't speak. So when you read the story, what was it that motivated you to take this leap into the unknown and shoot this documentary, The Dropbox?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, I think a better way of saying it is I'd never wanted to make a documentary.
Okay.
No, it wasn't something that I ever thought of doing in any way, but when I saw a story like this, it was something I couldn't ignore. I remember reading about Pastor Lee in a newspaper article over my breakfast cereal on June 20th, 2011. Mm-hmm. And that article was called South Korean Pastor Tends an Unwanted Flock. And it was all about this man in Korea who had built essentially a mailbox for abandoned babies, which has to this point saved over 600 children from the street.
Wow.
And so for me, reading this article, it was like this man had built a bunker for babies and was protecting it with his whole life. And, you know, I grew up, like you said, making movies in my neighborhood. And I used to make movies about being in a battle. And it seemed like he was in a battle. And he lived in a neighborhood.
Yeah.
And it felt really real to me. So real that it made everything in my life seem fake.
Yeah.
So I decided that I needed to go chase that down and find out where all the courage came from.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in retrospect now, and to me, it sounds like this is you leaving your comfort zone is an example of the Christian concept of surrendering to God's will. Is it that in retrospect to you too now? Because I don't think you were still kind of a novice baby Christian to a degree at that point.
So actually, I didn't become a Christian for almost another year.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was a Christian, you know, because I didn't smoke cigarettes and I watched Fox News with my mom. That's kind of Christianity is very decorative to me, but it wasn't until I realized that I was just as broken as any of these kids, just as broken as a lot of people I was reading about.
Right.
That I knew I needed to be saved.
Right, right. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'm talking to Brian Ivey about his documentary, The Dropbox, and also his book, which is called The Dropbox, How 500 Abandoned Babies, An Act of Compassion, and a Movie Changed My Life Forever. What are some of the disabilities you saw at Pastor Lee's church?
Well, there's it's pretty severe. So it's good that you mentioned that, actually, because a lot of the children that are left in the box have physical disabilities and deformities. So the original article I read, the reason why I was so compelled by it and upset by it was because these children were seen as the most disposable kids.
Mm.
You know, they were the ones with things missing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they were less valuable, so to speak. And so they're missing limbs, missing a lot of times their brains or pieces of their brains, missing eyes, literally
yeah.
eyes.
Wow.
And so I would see these kids, and of course there's varying degrees of this, but I thought, wow, that's so sad. But at the same time, over time, as I lived in the orphanage, I developed a kinship with them
mm-hmm.
and understood how I was really not that different.
Yeah,
And I had my own disabilities and deformities inside my own heart.
Sure, sure. A few weeks ago, I talked to Tim Shriver about his work with Special Olympics, and he said that the kids he's gotten to know, the kids with intellectual disabilities he's gotten to know through the years, he thought he was helping them, but they were really helping him. They were his greatest teachers in life. Would you say the same for you?
Totally. And I think Pastor Lee would be the first to say that. He says that children with disabilities are the educators of society. You know, his own son, Pastor Lee's own biological son, 29 years old, has lived his entire life on his back on a bed. And yet he has changed the lives of thousands and now hopefully millions of people from his bed. And isn't that just how God works?
Yeah. Well, did having that son, because I think that was one of the crises of faith in Pastor Lee's life, having a son, is it Yunman? Is that how it's pronounced?
Unman.
And did that give him a crisis of faith at all to say, you know, why would God do this to me?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's a great scene in this movie, Awakenings, because I always think in terms of movies.
Good movie, yeah.
Where this woman, you know, she says, when my baby was born healthy, I didn't really ask God why I deserved such a thing. But when my baby was born sick, I said, yes, God, why would you do such a thing to me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think Pastor Lee did have a crisis where he said, you know, why wouldn't you give me a healthy baby? I prayed for a son, and this is what you give me. But, of course, what ended up happening in his life was he realized this son wasn't a mistake. He wasn't an error.
Mm-hmm.
But God put him on earth in this way. Because the weak shame the strong, you know, he uses people that are weak and helpless to change the world. And that's how he can use a broken man like Pastor Lee out of a gutter of alcoholism and rage, and use a kid like me out of a porn addiction and anger issues and many other things to do something extraordinary as make a film about his love.
Right, right. I'm talking to Brian Ivey about his movie, The Dropbox, and you just mentioned both yours and Pastor Lee's past sins, which I think is a good thing, because a lot of times when we talk about Christians in public life, we kind of sanitize them. And the saints get sanitized through the years, but, you know, they've got a lot of sinful background. So tell me about the importance of this, the story, like for Pastor Lee and for you, just to openly admit your sins.
Yeah, thank you. That's great to hear you say, because I think what I realized, because I became a Christian while making the film, is that a lot of people outside the church will say, well, Christians are the perfect people. They think they're better than me. And I say, no. Christians are not the perfect people. They're the people who know they're not even good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they always say, glory to God, you know, God did it. He gets the credit, because it's true, because God rescued Pastor Lee before Pastor Lee rescued any children.
Okay.
And God certainly rescued and saved me before I was interested in helping and saving these kids as well through this movie. So it always begins with God.
Yeah.
And it always begins with him loving us before we really love other people.
Right. Well, going back to Pastor Lee's son with the disabilities, you write in your book that he stays in a room and they call it the happy room, even though it's counterintuitive to an outsider. What made them call it the happy room?
Well, I think for them, you know, there's really two ways to look at this world. It's that it's just pitiless indifference, and some people get lucky and some people don't, or there's a reason and a purpose, and that God's going to bring something really beautiful out of the ashes. And so for Pastor Lee, for him, I think he realized that God allowed something he hated in order to accomplish something he loved. And so there was a happiness in him about that.
Mm-hmm.
And also his son, even though he lays on his back and has severe brain damage, he's one of the best smiles on planet Earth.
Yes.
And so for Pastor Lee, that is a rebellion against what society would call satisfaction or happiness.
Right, right. And if anybody sees the Dropbox documentary, you will see the smile of Pastor Lee's son. I should also mention that it's going to be screening in public theaters March 3rd, 4th, and 5th. You can check the website, thedropboxfilm.com, for locations in your area. Again, I'm talking to Brian Ivey about his documentary called The Dropbox. But part of the story with Pastor Lee also has to do with dealing with grief, because a young girl named Hannah that he took care of, she died at age 6. And one of the interesting things about the story to me, one of the very real things, is that even though Pastor Lee is a man of faith who believes in heaven, that didn't mean he didn't feel the pain of loss. So how did he come to terms with his grief there?
Well, I think that's so good, because, yeah, it's true. It's he doesn't put on a plastic smile when he sees women come to him with crippling grief when children die in front of him. It's
mm-hmm.
just not the way he deals with it, and nor is that the way anyone in the Bible deals with it. That's why we have the Psalms. We need to return to this idea of lament. It's part of this life. I don't know why every individual thing happens, but I think Pastor Lee's faith and Christianity really offers unrivaled resources for suffering.
Mm-hmm.
We have a God who got into the mess with us and said, I'm going to hang on this cross so you know that this isn't, that there is a reason and that I'm involved in. I'm not this aloof being waiting and watching in heaven while all of you guys squirm in your suffering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm getting involved in a way where I'm going to experience the worst of it and I'm going to give you a way through it. And so Pastor Lee, the reason why people are attracted to him
mm-hmm.
is because he embraces the suffering of the people in the world. And as a church, that's what we've always been called to do, not just say, you know, don't have an abortion, don't abandon your child. It's bring the children to me. I'll help you. I'll love you, and I'll embrace your suffering with you.
Right, right. Well, you just mentioned the word love, and I think culturally we can sometimes really give short shrift to the word. So what did spending time with Pastor Lee, his wife, and the kids teach you about love, not as the culture defines it, like a feeling, but love in its highest form?
I grew up watching Gone with the Wind and Keats and, you know, Thing of Beauty is a Joy Forever. I studied love, but it was really just a Hollywood weak at the knees love, you know, but that doesn't break chains and set you free.
Mm-hmm.
The love that sets you free isn't affection. It's sacrificial love. It's the love that gives everything, even when you have nothing to offer back. And that is the love of God on the cross. And that's the love of Pastor Lee for the children on the street, many times with disabilities who can't even speak or emote. And yet he gives them everything he has every day as a picture of our Heavenly Father giving his only son for us.
What is the status of children with disabilities in South Korea? How are they perceived? Because in America, it seems we have an issue with it, but we do seem to kind of lean towards compassion and sympathy for them. How is it in South Korea for them?
Well, I would say this. I would say this isn't true of everyone. Of course not. You can't say that. But
mm-hmm.
There is a cultural difference in the sense that there's a shame culture around children with disabilities, a shame culture around unwed mothers. But in regards to the children, yeah, it's in the dark. The fact that Pastor Lee has adopted 18 children with disabilities is a complete anomaly. I mean, it's really an act of beautiful rebellion in a culture that would hide this.
Yeah.
And so for Pastor Lee and taking in these, especially children who are linked up to machines, I'm not talking about just children who are missing fingers. I mean, children who really cannot do, they'll never play baseball. They'll never be able to talk to you about anything significant. And so for Pastor Lee, he is the counterculture.
Yeah.
And that's why I think people love what he does as well.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Brian Ivey about his documentary, The Dropbox, and also about his book called The Dropbox, How 500 Abandoned Babies, An Act of Compassion, and a Movie Changed My Life Forever. The website is thedropboxfilm.com. A couple of years ago, I interviewed an author named Amy Andrews, and she was raised atheist, but she felt this calling from God throughout her life. And at some point, she converted to Christianity. She joined the Catholic Church, and she said that really what drew her was because she was a story person, and she wanted to enter into the story of Christianity. And in a way, that reminds me of you, because you're a story person. Your whole life is story. So how much did the story aspect of Christianity really kind of get you in that unique way?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, G.K. Chesterton once said that the riddles of God are more satisfying than the solutions of man. You know, it's just, there is a story. Of course there is, in the beginning, you know, and then you can turn to the end of the book and, you know, we win, you know, but
yeah.
There is, I think, of course, everyone has this existential crisis at times where they think, is all of this working towards something? Is this all in vain, or is there actually a purpose in this life? Especially when you see people die at a young age or children born with limbs all crooked, you know,
mm-hmm.
There has to be something going on. So for me, yeah, it was about joining a story because when I saw Pastor Lee and I saw his love for these kids and I saw the courage that he had, I thought, everything in my life is fake compared to that. I want to be a part of a battle. I want to be in something real.
Yeah.
And so that's what Christianity offers, of course. That's where God is, in the fog, in the thick of it, you know, in the battle. And so I wanted to be a part of this. And if my story of my life is so much different now.
Yeah.
But we all have the same ending. And that's why I don't reject happy endings, you know,
yeah.
because it's not naive. It's what we all desire because we still have this imprint of how God always wanted it to be. when he said it's all good.
You know? Yeah. Well, even in the book, you kind of write about, you're always attracted to these stories about good guys defeating bad guys. Do you think that inclination is, in a way, God making himself present to you without being too overt about it, kind of planting seeds in your life?
Totally. You know, in Acts 17, you know, and again, I quote the Bible now, but let me just say to anybody who's listening who maybe doesn't believe, who's on the fence or whatever, you know, I didn't know anything about the Bible when I started this process. You know, I went in to make this movie and I thought, I cringed at the idea of accepting Jesus into my life and the Bible. But in the Bible that I read now, in Acts 17, it talks all about how God orchestrates our lives so that we could reach out for him, even though he's not far away.
Mm-hmm.
And of course he did. He, you know, film school, I call my seminary, you know, because it taught me how to tell stories. And now I want to tell stories about what God's like. But it taught me about these things. And growing up, and I made movies about being in a battle. And so that now when I'm going into the world and suffering, just it's something that I remember wanting even when I was young. And it's all these things that have really been links in a chain. And of course, the greatest link of all being realizing what the cross meant for me.
Right.
And for everyone who accepts Jesus.
Right, so. Right. I'm talking to Brian Ivey about his documentary, The Dropbox. And one other thing I really liked about the book is that you do, and even your conversation, you pepper it with these pop culture references. And sometimes the creators of Christian entertainment can make everything coming out of Hollywood sound like it's worthless or evil. But how do you find the good in popular culture? Because you do seem to appreciate it. It sounds like you and I watch some of the same TV shows and the same movies, and I find the good in it. So how do you find the good in it?
Totally, man. I mean, that's great here because for me, it's, you know, no rock and roll, kids, you know, don't dance. That's not the point, because if Christianity were that, then it'd be a social club.
Mm-hmm.
No, of course it's not. Yes, there are things that aren't going to help your soul, you know. There are pieces of entertainment that are trashy, and I think a lot of people outside of the church would also agree with that 50 Shades of Grey is not something that we should all be watching with our children, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people know when something's real.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's an authenticity of what people go through, and especially Hollywood does a much better of expressing what it's like to go through pain and suffering
mm-hmm.
than Christians do when they make movies. And I don't know if it's just because we haven't been trained in the same way or something, but I think people have an authenticity meter. And so when people see movies and it doesn't feel like it's birthed out of pain, immediately it's fake.
Yeah.
And so that's why I really try to tell stories that have my heart broken all over it.
Mm-hmm.
When I watch things, I'm looking for something real. And some movies aren't that, but a lot of them are. And they don't have to be made by Christians, you know.
Yeah.
They're all made in the image of God. And we all go through this world and think, this isn't how it should be. It shouldn't be hopeless. It shouldn't be a mess. I shouldn't be broken. And maybe there's an answer for that.
Right, right. Now that you've made a documentary starting off, do you want to continue down that route, or do you still want to go to your original dream of making movies with actors and things?
I do want to make movies with actors. You know, it's crazy because, you know, a lot of people get saved and they go to the Amazon and preach and go to unreached people groups. But
mm-hmm.
for me, unreached people groups also include those in Hollywood that think that this world is all about, you know, what you own. And it's all about, you know, climbing the ladder of success. And there's so much brokenness in that. And I lived in that American dream malaise. You know, I don't want that for anybody.
Yeah.
But I know that things are not what they seem and that people are actually really messed up inside, even if they don't put on that face all the time.
Yeah.
So I'm staying in Hollywood and I'm going to tell stories and I'm going to tell the truth through Hollywood, but also to Hollywood on set with my camera team, with anybody who's around me. I'm not going to fence anybody out.
Mm-hmm.
So I plan to make more movies, and I want to do them the biggest way possible, but not for my own glory anymore.
Right, right. I'm talking to Brian Ivey. His documentary is called The Dropbox. It's about Pastor Lee in South Korea, who created a Dropbox for babies that were unwanted, where parents could leave them. Often these children are disabled. They have disabilities. And Pastor Lee takes them in. Brian said at the beginning of this interview that Pastor Lee has saved over 600 babies at this point through his Dropbox. And I love when one missionary in the movie calls saying Pastor Lee is like MacGyver, because that's how he created the baby box out of, you know, basically goes out of nothing. And he created this idea. And it was really, mm-hmm. How does Pastor Lee continue to inspire you? How are you continue trying to help him now?
So I started an organization called Kindred Image. And the goal of that organization is basically to formalize the heartbeat of what Pastor Lee was doing out of his church,
mm-hmm.
out of his home. And the mission statement of the organization is to end child abandonment in Korea and create a culture of life, you know. And so for me, if I was going to turn up the volume on his life, I wanted to stand with him. You know, he's my spiritual dad. I really wanted to help him and provide support for the ministry and help him save more children because they matter. So he continues to inspire me because he keeps getting up every time that bell rings, you know? And I think the hardest type of courage and the hardest type of sacrifice is daily, every day, dying to yourself. Not once in a big flash, you know, drinking some liquid courage, but every day I'm going to get up out of bed and it's not going to be about me and it's going to be about all these people that are hurting, and God help me. And that's how he inspires me today.
Yeah. Well, in the movie, Pastor Lee's wife comments that since they've been raising all these children, they've gotten old. So, you know, if their work is that hard and that stressful, how do you, what keeps them going? Because Pastor Lee has health issues of his own.
Yeah, of course. Well, I think what I see in the book, you know, a lot is what confused me about the man was that he could just continue to give these children energy, smiles, laughter, all this stuff, and they couldn't give it back to him many times.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes they were, the kids are difficult. I mean, they really are. I mean, we tend to think of children in this romantic way, but children can be very difficult. I mean, I was a terrible child, you know? And so for me, I think what I saw in Pastor Lee was a fullness of heart that can only come from getting your strength elsewhere, you know, because a lot of people find their strength from their families, from their kids. Pastor Lee clearly found it in the resources of God and understanding that God is going to fill his cup so that when he pours out, he doesn't lose a drop.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, there's no way you could do what he does on a daily basis and dying every day.
Yeah.
So that's,
yeah.
I think that's, I know where he finds his strength.
Well, I think one of the other things with a disabled child is you know, the thought ahead of time is that they won't have much of a quality of life. But sometimes these dire prognoses don't turn out as expected, like with Ruri in the film. Tell us about Ruri a little bit.
Yeah, Ruri. Man, Ruri's like my little brother. So Ruri's one of Pastor Lee's adopted sons, and he's missing a lot of fingers and toes, and he had some serious surgeries when he was little. But he's also like J.I. Packer, you know, trapped in a little Korean boy's body. He's like a genius. So Ruri taught me a lot. You know, he was 11 years old when this whole thing started, but he taught me how to not to stand over Unmen on the bed, but sit next to him. He taught me how to pray. You know, that little kids can do that and they mean it because they're honest and pray from their heart. And, you know, he wants to take over Pastor Lee's work when he gets older.
Wow.
And for me, I never wanted to help anybody before I became a Christian, you know? And so he's taught me a lot about it. It's always about the people, not about the product.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, you mentioned in the book that your grandmother, Patricia, had Alzheimer's. And I'm wondering, the insight you've gained about people with disabilities, people dealing with serious illness since then, has that affected how you look back on your grandmother? Or, I mean, was she still alive when you did the movie or no?
She wasn't.
Okay.
I think she was at the beginning when it started, but
okay.
Never got to see it at the end. And I think it has colored that experience for me because in one way, you know, you just try to ignore it and try to put it away and bury the experience because how terrible is that experience to watch your grandmother get up in the middle of dinner and think she's somewhere else.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, Jesus Christ is the only God who really feels like to me who has any right to say anything about the suffering because he suffered and he didn't stay out of it. So when I watch that happen, I think, this is not how God wanted to be. He's allowing something he hates, but I know that it's not for no reason and that he's involved in this with me and that he's just as grieved by it as anyone, if not way more.
Right, right.
And so, it changes that and it changes how I see anybody going through anything hard.
Sure. What has reaction been from the people who've already seen the Dropbox film?
It's been extraordinary. I mean, I'll tell you, Sonny, I planned this as a 5-minute short film and now it's an 80-minute feature to be released across the entire United States of America and Canada and a ton of other countries. I mean, it was not my plan. But the reaction has been really good because I think people are seeing, thank goodness, something real, you know, something authentic. And they think, this man really gets it, you know.
Yeah.
And he's living proof of a loving God. I mean, at least I hope that's what they see. So anytime they see it, whether they're a believer or not, they're seeing something true, something tested, and it's something they can sink their teeth into, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's There's so many forgettable films that are really good when you're watching them and you kind of go about your life. I don't think that's this movie at all.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I'm watching this movie, I was reminded of the Christophers have a motto: it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. And that
Amen.
Seems to me what Pastor Lee is doing. But when you hit times of darkness in your life, where do you find the hope to keep moving forward and believe that there's a light again?
Man, I used to find it in movies, you know,
mm-hmm.
like it was more of an escape. That's why they always talk about movies that way, you know, escapist films, and they're entertaining. And the people in that high stress culture, super stress culture, we go to the movies to be somewhere that's safe and dark, and we just watch flickers of light on screen. And,
mm-hmm.
But for me now, you know, I find my hope in the truest thing about me, which I believe is what God says about me, that I'm a son and that he loves me even when I screw it all up.
Yeah.
And that he's going to do something about all of this one day where it's going to be the way it was always supposed to be, the way it always is in the end of happy movies, you know,
mm-hmm.
And that's not a fool's dream, that it's actually based on the reality that he always wanted before sin entered the world. But, you know, suffering entered the world because of sin, and God's suffering's taken it out.
Right.
That's
right.
What I believe.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up, and I've been talking to Brian Ivey about his documentary, The Dropbox, and also about his book called The Dropbox, How 500 Abandoned Babies, An Act of Compassion, and a Movie Changed My Life Forever. Like Brian said, the movie is going to be released nationwide March 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Go to the website, thedropboxfilm.com. And one of the great things you'll see when you watch this movie is that it is not preachy. It sets the example of Pastor Lee in front of us. It doesn't tell you what to think. It shows you a real person acting out of love, and you get what to think. Nobody needs to hit you over the head with the message. The viewer just gets it. So by all means, go see The Dropbox. Look up the website, The Dropbox Film, and kudos to you, Brian, for doing such a great job on your first movie. Look forward to seeing what you do in the future.
Thanks, Tony. Really appreciate that.
Now, before we end today's show, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
No one is too far gone for God. Regardless of how many poor choices you've made, God is still willing to welcome you back with open arms if you sincerely ask for his forgiveness and try to change your ways. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called From Sinners to Saints. It profiles several people who chose to turn their lives around after experiencing God's love and grace. To request your free copy of From Sinners to Saints, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineers for today's show are Charlie Actor and Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.